What's up, South Canyon Baptist Church? This is Pastor Tanner, the pastor of Student Family Ministry at South Canyon Baptist Church. I'm with Pastor Joel, who is the worship pastor here at South Canyon Baptist Church, and also with us, the head honcho, the head pastor, Brent Reeves himself.
I want to pause there for just a second, and I want to know the definition of honcho. I don't know exactly
Honestly, I don't know where that comes from.
Yeah. I'm just curious. When you said it once before, we'll have to look that up and see if I really am that.
I think you are. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about three different things. We're going to be talking about the ending of your sermon series in Acts, and then what we're looking forward to in summer series in the Book of Psalms, and then even kind of teasing our fall series that we're going to be getting into very soon. So, with that said, Brent, we're wrapping up Acts. It's been a really, I think, fruitful thing. My wife and I have only, I think, that we've thought about it. I think 4 weeks we've been here during your sermon series and have gotten to listen to a few online. But as you're kind of looking back, what was kind of the hope of you preaching through Acts for South Canyon?
I think I would say first and foremost that my goal was to allow our congregation together to reflect on and to remember what we're told in the book of Acts about the expansion of the gospel and how God's church specifically fulfilled what Jesus said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. In many ways, the book of Acts can be outlined even according to those what's said there, those four sections in that verse. So I wanted our congregation to be reminded of and to be maybe re-energized about the call that we have to be witnesses for Christ and even unto the ends of the earth, and to see how God worked and to see God's power and to see in the book of Acts. Sometimes we idealize Christianity in the book of Acts, and yet while we can do that, I think there are some amazing things that we see in Acts that do challenge us and motivate us and encourage us in ways that we need to be. So that was, I guess, first and foremost, the idea of we are all called to be witnesses for Christ, and that we have the Holy Spirit, who is the power, the dynamic power behind that calling that we have and for our living the lives that God calls us to live. Another thing was there would be the opportunity throughout the book of Acts to talk about the Holy Spirit, because there's a great deal of content about the Spirit moving and the Spirit working, and even some of the controversial questions that are out there about tongues and about whether the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes as sort of a second blessing. We've walked through those texts, and I've tried to teach faithfully as best I know how what those texts say and what they mean and what they don't mean, to help us be clear on some of those things. So that's sort of another thing that I thought would be important. And I had actually, not long before starting this series, reread a book with the elders by J.D. Greer called Jesus Continued. Mm-hmm. It's not about the book of Acts, it's about the Holy Spirit. And I thought it was a fantastic book. But the book of Acts it's Jesus Continued because of the way Luke himself begins the book of Acts by saying, my former treatise, Theophilus, was about what Jesus began to do, meaning the book of Luke. And so the book of Acts, by implication, is what Jesus continued to do by the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, through his people. And I thought that was another important thing for us to remember, is that it's the Spirit's power and Christ in us that we depend on, and that is the essence of what we need, the essence of what we're called to live out as followers of Jesus.
I know one thing that I've seen just kind of as a big theme within the book of Acts is just the Lord's providence in the believers' lives. And I think oftentimes we can look at the book of Acts as just a series of events, and you know, we're getting insight into that, but really we're kind of getting illuminated to God's hand being, you know, whether it be through the apostles, by the Holy Spirit, just kind of his working within that. I've really enjoyed that part of it as well. Joel, for you, brother, what was kind of the hope as we were working through Acts, you know, whether it be thematically, musically, what were some kind of hopes that you had for South Canyon as we were going through this book?
Yeah,
Well, I think thinking back to, you know, when I first got here in the beginning of 2019, and we were in this series, I think some of the songs that we introduced that were specifically tied in very closely to this whole sermon series was a song called Spirit of God, mm-hmm. which is a Sovereign Grace song, and just talking about, I mean, there's not a lot of songs, you know, unfortunately, that really highlight as much the work of the Holy Spirit and just, or you know, the Trinity more fully. And so this song, you know, focuses in on the Holy Spirit, and just, it's kind of a prayer, just asking the Spirit to be, you know, empowering us, to be sanctifying us, to be active, you know, in our lives as Christians. And so that was one that we introduced and did several times throughout the series, that I think was helpful, just for us to not get, you know, we can get so focused on just a couple of basic themes, which are critical, you know, kind of just the gospel or Jesus, and yet to have like a fuller, more comprehensive, you know, view of who God is and the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Spirit, and just some, you know, some of these different themes. I think that was helpful to try to, you know, to balance that and make sure we're not neglecting, you know, the Holy Spirit in a sense as the one of the members of the Trinity. And then another song that they introduced that I think was particularly meaningful, and it's a song that I have known for years and love, is O Church Arise, mm-hmm. By Keith and Kristen Getty. And we did a version that has like a little chorus added as well that talks about lift your eyes, you know, we are his radiant bride, arise, O Church, arise. But that song is just about the church and the mission of taking the gospel and knowing that, you know, there's a line I love. There's tons of lines I love in that song. But there's a line that says, you know, Christ will have the prize for which he died, an inheritance of nations. So that kind of that going forward, the gospel going forward, and having success and reaching the nations, it's just, yeah, a really powerful picture. And then it also has a part at the end that just talks about, it talks about the Spirit, you know, Spirit come, give strength for every stride. As we, you know, as we continue to run the race, and there's those who have gone before who are watching, like Hebrews talks about. So that was a great song we got to use several times throughout the series, just about, you know, the church, as we're kind of seeing the birth of the church there in Acts, and Paul going, particularly Paul going forward in his missionary journeys and taking it to the nations, and, you know, us wanting to be just a continuation of that even now, to this day. And I guess one other song that I think was meaningful that we introduced more recently was King of Kings, which is just a great treatment of kind of just the whole gospel story, which of course, I mean, that's what, you know, that's what Acts is about, is the gospel that's going forth to the nations. But particularly there's a part at the end of that song that talks about, you know, the Church of Christ was born, the Spirit lit the flame, now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. And I just love that part. It's really powerful, and I think it's a picture really of what Acts is about, and then what we're just, you know, we kind of stand on that foundation and continue, you know, to seek to be faithful and to be a witness and to continue to see the gospel go forth. So those were some songs I think ended up fitting really well with Acts, and, you know, I think will continue to be, you know, great songs, encouraging songs for us in the future, but they were particularly helpful and relevant for as we went through Acts.
As I think about kind of the Big C Church, the Universal Church, it's always really cool for us as Christians. We have a history of how that Big C Church began. And songs like O Church Arise really encouraged me kind of in that truth and in that history of knowing that the Lord was really at work in this particular time in history during the book of Acts, but he's just as at work now in the church today, and even in our local body at South Canyon. That's a really encouraging thing to me. So as we kind of wrap up Acts, we're looking forward to the summer. And Brent, you chose to do, how many years have you been going through the Psalms?
In the summers, we've always, for the last, this I think will be the third or the fourth year. I'll have to go back and make sure. I know it's three or four, but I don't know which it is.
Sure.
So this may be the fourth. summer that we've gone back to the Psalms. It's something that I heard about a pastor who did. I think it was H.B. London. Mm-hmm. Not H.B. London. Who is H.B. Charles. H.B. Yeah. Charles was doing that. And I thought, that's a great idea, because in the summer, people are in and out a little bit more. And so it's not something that, you know, is consecutive in the sense that you need to, in a sense, you know, you need to know the story before this story, that's like Acts would be. So we've been doing that, and I have found it incredibly encouraging and helpful. It's just a great book that people need to be acquainted with and need to dig into, and I think it gives us a chance every year to do that. So it's been good.
Good.
It's been
so good last summer, you did the Psalm of Ascents, right?
Yes.
And so this summer, what can we be expecting out of the Book of Psalms?
This summer, what we're going to do is going to go through the fourth book of Psalms. And some people may not even remember or realize that the Book of Psalms is broken up into five books. Mm-hmm. And those books are made up of psalms that have connections to one degree or another with each other. And the book four in Psalms is just a really powerful set of psalms. And it's really the theme of the fourth book, I think, from what I've seen as I've looked at lots of different sources and books, is comfort. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that would be especially and significantly helpful for our people in light of what we are going through now as we make this podcast. And even by the time it's released, there'll probably certainly still be some restrictions or, you know, some things that are still not quite as they were mm-hmm. normal. From our perspective. And so I think in the midst of seasons like we are going through, or maybe have recently gone through in its worst form, we want to hear from these psalms, and will hear from and through these psalms about how God gives us comfort. And so book four is Psalm 90 through Psalm 106. Mm-hmm. So it's that number of psalms beginning at Psalm 90. Interestingly enough, the first psalm in book four is the only psalm attributed to Moses, mm-hmm. which is interesting, and that's the first psalm. It's a somewhat familiar psalm, and some of these psalms will be familiar. 103, as well as some other ones, people will be fairly familiar with. And then other ones, when you take a series like this, some of the psalms you'll think, oh my goodness, that's in the Bible. You know, some people will. And so it's very interesting, and because of the variety that you get, even when you do different psalms like we have in the summer, it's been good because it touches on lots of things. But the theme will be comfort in God, our Creator and Redeemer, mm-hmm. is going to be the title for the series based on the content in these psalms.
I'm really excited about this specific set of psalms, because actually Psalm 102 was the first sermon that I can remember hearing from a friend that opened my eyes to seeing Jesus in the Old Testament. It was totally mind-blowing to me to hear that psalm preached. And actually, it wasn't just seeing Jesus. It was actually seeing God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in that psalm. Totally amazing psalm. So I'm looking forward to these set of psalms. So, Joel, as we're thinking about God being our comfort and God being our Redeemer, kind of what's the hope, maybe even musically, that we should be looking forward to in this series that we're going through this summer?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much here. In some of these psalms, I mean, there's some great, just well-known psalms, well-known passages just of praise, mm-hmm. you know, praising God. And just, I think there have been a lot of songs, you know, over the years, probably, you know, centuries, written based on some of these psalms. Some of them are, you know, maybe written in the 80s or 90s or whatever that I can think of. But so there's so much inspiration just for praise and worship. And of course, this has been, you know, God's people's, you know, hymn book for a long, long time. So I think definitely that theme of God as kind of the refuge, even the first one, Psalm 90, which is the one by a prayer of Moses, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. So God is a refuge, God is our help and comfort. That's a big theme. Just God is, like this title that Brent mentioned, God is Creator. So seeing Him just as sovereign and His majesty in creation, and just His control over, you know, all of nature, all that He's made, And so I think, you know, those will be a couple themes. I don't know exactly, you know, which songs we'll try to introduce new. During the summer, you know, there's only time for introducing so many new songs. But we'll, you know, we'll look for, you know, possibly some of those kinds of themes. And I think it can be really helpful if, you know, to have a song where we're maybe opening up our worship with just praise, you know, just mm-hmm. praising God for his great acts. Actually, I think the song that we recently introduced, Great Things, mm-hmm. By Phil Wickham, would be a good song that ties into some of these themes, just God's, the great things that he's done in creation and in caring for his people and being a stronghold and a refuge. And then, of course, I think the other important piece that again, is in kind of the sermon title, the series title, you know, the Creator and Redeemer. And so what I think we'll see in some of these psalms is the psalmist, whoever it is, like looking back on God's faithfulness, mm-hmm. how he, you know, whether it's to Joseph or Moses and the Exodus and bringing his people and then providing for them in the wilderness and things like that, or even, you know, for David. And yet for us, we can be encouraged by looking at those things, and we are looking forward to even the greater Exodus, mm-hmm. and the greater Redeemer in Jesus Christ. And so, of course, you know, songs that highlight just the gospel and our Redeemer, that all this other past history was pointing ahead, pointing towards Jesus. And so we look back to that as the pinnacle of God, as our refuge and our Redeemer, and so on. That's a theme of a lot of our songs and a lot of songs that we could potentially teach as a new song. But so those are some of the big themes I think that we'll kind of be looking for. But I would love to find, you know, at least one or two that are very much based on some of the psalms that could be, you know, that we could learn, because I think that's really helpful. It's really valuable when we can be singing, maybe not word for word, but, you know, singing the psalms and taking some of the, even the wording or some of those themes right out of the psalms.
One of the songs I'm thinking of, and I don't know if we sing it here, maybe we can, within the series, is "O Lord, My Rock and My Redeemer" by Sovereign Grace. That just mm-hmm. is completely tied into this section of the Psalms, and definitely talks about our Redeemer as Christians and yep. Jesus Christ. It's really, really good song. I'm really excited for this series, but we even have a little teaser for you all about the next series that we're going to be doing, and starting in the fall, Brent is going to be starting a sermon series in the book of Hebrews. So, Brent, maybe kind of help us step into your mind a little bit of why Hebrews. Hebrews is a complex book, brother. So, why Hebrews?
That explains why I've never done it before.
Sure.
It doesn't explain why I'm doing it now necessarily. And yet, in some ways it does, because I think there are some difficult and controversial, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. Doctrinal, salvific, having to do with salvation issues in the book of Hebrews that I want to wrestle with. One of the things that I like about expository preaching, and at the same time it's the hard part, is when you preach through books, you are forced to mm-hmm. face and to then stand before people and teach those people what you think God is saying and God's word is communicating here. And that's not always easy. But I want to do that, and so I'm making myself, in a sense, accountable that I'm going to have a text in Hebrews that follows the text of Hebrews the week before every week for a long, significant period of weeks, and it's going to be, I know it's going to be good for the church. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God's prophet and is profitable. It's one of the books I've never preached through in my ministry of many, many years, and so that'll be a challenge, and yet it'll be new and in that sense be fresh and be exciting. So I'm looking forward to that. It deals with one of the things that I think is going to be helpful to our people is we often joke about the book of Leviticus and how hard it is when we have to read through the book of Leviticus in our yearly Bible, through the Bible reading. And in some ways, Hebrews is the New Testament commentary mm-hmm. on the book of Leviticus and much of the Old Testament, and it helps us as God's people tie the Old Covenant and the New Covenant together and to see the gospel more clearly in what comes before. Because it really is, it's the book of Hebrews, so it's about the Hebrew Bible in many ways, the Old Testament, as we call it. So I'm excited about that, helping people see the connections and see how Jesus is better. That's going to be the title for the series, Jesus is Better, how Jesus is better than the Old Testament sacrifices and priests and how Jesus fulfills and yet surpasses what the Old Testament points toward and gives us in terms of revelation about God and salvation and atonement and such. So
when I think about hearing Jesus is better, my mind often goes to Matt Chandler and kind of his like slogan whenever he preaches is, in this passage we see Jesus is the better, blah blah blah. And I think much of the book of Hebrews can kind of be summed up in Jesus is the better prophet, better priest, and better king than anything that we experience. Brent, not to kind of put you on the spot, but I know you and I had a conversation yesterday about penal substitutionary atonement, and I think maybe in Hebrews we're seeing that. So maybe just give our people and those that are listening maybe a couple of reasons why talking about penal substitutionary atonement, because that's naturally going to be coming out of the book of Hebrews, why that's important to us as Christians.
Yeah, atonement is central. One of the central themes in the book of Hebrews, and I think it's the central theme of the Bible, what God has done so that we could be reconciled to Him because of our sin and because of His holiness, because of His love and because of His justice. God has worked in the way that He has through Jesus, and Jesus has, upon the cross, bore our sin, the penalty for our sin, penal substitution. He did that in our place, in our stead. Christ died for our sins. The just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Those are different texts that Paul and Peter have written that I think make it very clear that in Jesus' death, fundamentally what He was doing was providing the sacrifice that is necessary for God both to be just and to be the justifier of those who believe in Christ. And so Hebrews will be another opportunity for us to dig into and see what the book of Hebrews specifically says about the atonement and the price that Jesus paid to atone for our sins. We were talking about that because I was listening to a podcast about a book that was written on the subject of the atonement, and I thought it was very, very good. It's I won't be able to remember the name right now of the author of the book that they were interviewing, but he uses the analogy of a body, a human body, to talk about four different ways that the Bible speaks about the atonement. And the feet, the illustration of the feet was recapitulation. That is, what Jesus is doing on the cross is He is doing what Adam failed to do. He is being faithful and resisting temptation where Adam didn't, and then ultimately He is the head of a new race. We either were in Adam and therefore we're in sin, or in Christ we are declared righteous. So there's that, the foot or the feet, and then there is the heart, which is substitutionary atonement in this analogy and in this book, and I thought that was very helpful. And then there's the head, which is Christus Victor, or Christ has conquered, or the victory of Christ that He's brought for us over sin and over death. And then there are the hands, which is moral influence, and the idea that Christ's death does in fact motivate us to love and to sacrifice and to live in a certain way. And so anyway, it was a really good podcast called Food Trucks in Babylon, and I know it's from Portland Western Seminary in Portland. Yeah. And it was a good podcast, and yes, that was kind of how we got to talking about that. But the book of Hebrews does allow the opportunity for us to see again more clearly how those Old Testament sacrifices are fulfilled in Christ's death.
And it seems like the atonement is kind of something that is often kind of attacked within the Christian faith. So I think going through the book of Hebrews will kind of shore up our understanding of why the atonement was necessary and why it's central within the Christian faith. But Joel, anything that you're maybe specifically looking forward to in the book of Hebrews?
I mean, I think it'll be great. Yeah, it'd be really great to preach, have Brent preach, and maybe us jump in a little bit on that, through that series, through that book. It's definitely just a really great epistle. In terms of music, I haven't gotten to thinking through that a whole lot yet, but obviously just a lot of really Christ-centered themes there, including atonement, and It'd be interesting to see if they're, you know, I guess we have some time to be digging around, looking, searching, but something that, that does help pick up on some of those Old Testament themes and seeing how, you know, how Jesus fulfills those, and they all kind of come to a head in him. I mean, there are songs that I think do that already, like Come Behold the Wondrous Mystery, I think would be a good example of that. But if there are any, you know, any new ones, any, or at least new to us, that we can find that, that really help us to see this Old Testament themes, you know, fulfilled in Christ, that would be good.
I'm sure Brent's already thinking about how we're going to play rock, paper, scissors to see who has to preach Hebrews 6.
I was going to say 6 and 10, I may be out of town.
Yeah, it's those are tough subjects, and maybe those can be used as potential springboards in different episodes of this podcast. I know, you know, just basically after talking about this, I think we'll definitely have to talk about penal substitutionary atonement at some point in time. And I know a particular topic that might come up is the preservation or the perseverance of the saints out of this book. So Hebrews has a lot of stuff that we're going to be able to talk about that I'm really excited about. But that's all we have for you guys. We can't wait to be with you hopefully very soon. And maybe by this point, we might be with them soon. I don't know. It might be super restricted, but we could be with you guys. But on behalf of the other two pastors and the elders, we love you guys so much and can't wait to be with you again very soon. We'll see you next time.